This is Indiana Public Radio News. Good morning, I'm Stan Sollers at 44 past the hour. We're about 2 weeks shy of the two-year mark since the start of the pandemic and the bug out of the university community to head home and shelter. At the end of business today, Ball State will lift its indoor mask mandate. To tell us about the timing and circumstances of the mandate's lifting is Ball State University President Jeff Mearns. President Mearns, welcome back.
Thank you, Stan. Good to be with you.
Thanks for being with us. What are the reasons for Ball State lifting its mask mandate? A number of people have said to me the timing of the mandate lift is a bit peculiar on the Friday heading into spring break when every year we see students traveling on all directions of the compass, then returning, and during the pandemic, possibly infected. Why not toward the end of the month so we can see if anybody got sick on break?
So several reasons for adjusting the mask protocol. As you know, as I've said many times to you, since the beginning of the pandemic, which is now, as you said, on nearly 2 years, throughout we've consistently said that our decisions will be guided by, informed by, really three principal factors. One is public health guidance on a national and state level. Secondly, the expertise and the input of a team or a group of local public health experts that we can consult with directly. And third, the data. That is, you know, we're going to make our decisions based upon science and the facts and not politics or public pressure or people's, you know, perceptions. So with that context, that background, here are the reasons. As you know, and as you've reported, I think it was at least a week ago that the CDC provided new guidance for indoor mask requirements. And the basic message, it was obviously more complicated than this, but the basic message was in this current phase of the pandemic, as the pandemic wanes, those protocols should focus on a tailored approach, not a broad approach, but a tailored approach. Secondly, it said that, you know, that you should focus on the facts within a community, a defined community, whether it's by county or, in our instance, the facts in our campus. And the facts on our campus is that for many weeks, I think 4 or 5 weeks, there's been a substantial and steady decline of the number of new cases within the members of the Ball State University community. There were, as I said in the email that I sent out on Wednesday, only 17 new cases last week. That's the lowest number of new cases in a single week the entire academic year, going all the way back to August. Secondly, there's been a significant and steady decline in the number of new cases here in Delaware County. A couple of weeks ago, I think, as you reported, we were like a 3 on the highest number on the state metric. We're now down to a number 1. The third factual area is we have very high vaccination rates on our campus. More than 82% of the students who reside in the residence halls have reported that they're vaccinated. More than 75% of all on-campus students have reported to being fully vaccinated. With respect to full-time faculty and professional staff, that vaccination rate is about 90%. You know, and the CDC, the experts say, if you're in a community where the vaccination rate is 70% or better, that is a threshold showing you're in an environment where you're substantially reducing the risk within the community. So all of those factors really prompted me to consult with our local team, and there were no objections to altering the mask protocol and doing it now. And frankly, you know, I know our students will be traveling, but as you've reported, we're actually, other institutions have lifted them sooner. So I think we're making a prudent decision, and I think we're doing it the right time.
What are the latest statistics in terms of COVID-19 infections and vaccinations here on the Ball State campus?
The vaccination rates for full-time faculty and professional staff and administrative staff are very high. We continue to lag, though, in vaccination rates for our service staff. And that is an area of concern. But they've had ample opportunity to become vaccinated for free, conveniently on our campus. We provided incentives for them to do that. So, as I say, we're moving forward with this change. Presently, in terms of the number of students who are presently presumed active with the virus, that number is 12. We have no employees who are presently presumed active with the virus. We have no students in on-campus students who are in quarantine or isolation. And we also look at data within the community, and the availability of ICU beds here in East Central Indiana has increased pretty steadily over the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's still a bit low, but it's increasing. And the number of available ventilators, that percentage is well over 80% available capacity. So again, those are factors that also contributed to our decision.
Well, let's shift gears from COVID over to retirements. A large number of retirements are happening across campus. I can count 5 faculty retiring in my own academic department. What is behind this, what I see is a larger than usual number of retirements of faculty?
So we've created this voluntary early retirement incentive plan for full-time faculty. We announced it in December and launched it in January. And the rationale, as we shared with the board and that the board endorsed, is primarily driven by our desire to expedite the implementation of our strategic plan. You know, in the coming years, we're going to need to accelerate the development of new and innovative teaching modalities, the kinds of things that you're doing, practical learning experiences that you're providing to your students. And so we need to focus on even more new experiential learning opportunities. You know, it's no longer about content delivery. It's about helping students to apply content to real world problems through experiential learning. And many of our current faculty really embrace this change as an opportunity to grow and evolve. But we also know that some may be at the point in their life, or maybe more appropriately, maybe in their career, where they prefer not to embark on new and innovative transformational changes. So we created this incentive plan to give these valued colleagues who've made significant contributions to our university, to our mission, and most importantly to our students, to give them an opportunity to pursue their own plans for the future.
Well, we'll have some more conversation about that at some other time, but speaking of time, we're out of it right now. So President Mearns, thanks very much for being with us this week.
Good to be with you, Stan, and I hope you enjoy a little bit of rest that you're entitled to over this next spring break week.
Well, thank you, and I hope you can achieve the same.
Thank you.
For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.